the first time during this Advent season, during these weeks before Christmas, here at Monroe, we've been looking at our hearts. We've been looking, examining them, and reflecting on what characteristics our hearts need in order to receive the Christ child when he comes on Christmas Day. And so far, we've learned that we need a repentant heart. We need a heart that's able to say it's sorry for its sin, so that it's able to receive the forgiveness that Jesus offers. We also learned that we need a broken heart. A perfect Christmas doesn't need a perfect Savior, but a broken heart does. We also learned that we need a faithful heart. We need a heart that's filled with faith to believe that Jesus came for us. People just like you and me. Today, this morning, we're going to look at one more characteristic. So I invite you to turn with me to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, and we're going to begin reading at verse 26. Here Luke writes, he says, "In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, 'Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you.' Mary was greatly troubled," that is, she was shaken inside of her core at his words, and she wondered what kind of greeting this might be. The angel said this to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed what the Lord has said. To her will be accomplished." And then Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arms. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich empty away. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers." Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months, and then she returned home. People of God, in our text for today, Luke focuses our attention on Mary. Mary, the young, unwed, pregnant servant girl. Mary, a simple, dirt poor peasant girl from a little town called Nazareth. In our text, Luke focuses our attention on Mary's song. In these verses, Mary sings. Mary sings a song to her God. But tell me, am I the only one who is amazed at Mary's ability to sing here? I find it quite a remarkable thing given the circumstances that she finds herself in. Typically, you wouldn't expect a dirt poor unmarried peasant girl to be singing her heart out, singing songs of praise and thanksgiving to her God because of the things, right, that are going on in her life. But Luke says this is what happens. This is what happened. Mary sang. But why? Why does Mary sing? Mary sings because although the current circumstances of her life put her in a tough situation, Mary recognizes the grace that God is pouring out in and through her. Although the current circumstances of her life put her in a tough situation, Mary recognizes the grace that God is pouring out on and through her. The reason that Mary sings is because her heart is a humble one. Mary is able to sing because her heart is humbled by all that God is doing. All that God is doing for her and through her on account of the child that she bears, that she will give birth to. Ronald Goetz, a professor at Elmhurst College, reminds us that the Protestant tradition in the Christian church and the great reformers, they didn't give much theological attention to Mary. They left this to our Catholic brothers and sisters. Goetz says, because God's sovereign predestining grace was central to their faith, that is, the reformers' faith, their attention to Mary, however, should have been central and not peripheral. For who better than Mary, he says, illustrated the fact that every one of us is a passive and indeed virgin recipient of God's purpose and calling. He says Christianity is the religion of what God has done for us and to us. We cannot create ourselves. We cannot redeem ourselves. We cannot ascend into heaven to bring Christ down, and we cannot descend into the abyss to bring Christ up from the dead. No, everything that is ours as Christian comes from God. Every hope that we have for redemption, all things come from God. And he says if we think seriously in these terms, upon which the Reformation and the Protestant Church grounded itself, how can we then fail to realize that we have been made pregnant by God's grace? He says we are all Mary. We are all the recipients of God pouring out grace. Why does Mary sing? Why does her soul cry out even though she's in a tough spot? Her soul glorifies the Lord and her spirit rejoices because God is her Savior. Because He has been mindful of the humble state of His servant, she says. Mary sings because God has remembered her. He has not forgotten. He has been mindful of her. From now on, she says, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is His name. Mary sings because the Mighty One has done great things for her. She's aware of this. So she sings. His mercy, she says, extends to all those who fear Him. That is, honor and revere Him. Not fear in the sense of woo, right? But fear in the sense of whoa. Mary sings because God's mercy has been extended to her. And not just to her, but to everyone who fears the Lord. She sings because he has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud. He has brought down rulers from their thrones. He has lifted up those who are humble. He has filled those who are hungry with good things. But he has sent those who are rich in themselves empty away. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful, she says. Remembering to be merciful to Abraham and all of his descendants, even as he said to her forefathers. Mary sings because God has done all these things for Abraham and for all the generations after, all the way up to her. Mary sings because she realizes that God has done these things for her too. She sings because God has kept his promises, promises he made to Abraham so long ago. Mary sings because God, through the child that she is going to bear, will continue to honor and keep his promises. And even though her current circumstances of being an unwed, pregnant peasant girl from Nazareth are far from ideal, she sings because there's far greater things going on than her immediate circumstances. She sings because of what God has done, what he is doing, and what he will do. Those things are greater, she says. And Mary's, she sings because she's humbled by it. She's humbled by it. But the question, as Kay asks, is this. He says, can we sing Mary's song? Mary's heart was humbled and she sings, but can you and I today, can we sing Mary's song? We know that Mary can sing. We know that Mary did sing. But what about us? What about our hearts this Advent morning? Can you and I, can we sing like Mary did? Could Mary's song break out here? Along the Grand River, in Grand Rapids, on Monroe Avenue? Could a song like Mary's pour out of our hearts, pour out from within us? Kay says this, he says, for those of us sitting pretty at the top of the world's economic pyramid, we who venture in and out of our safe communities, often growling with our stomachs full to anyone who would get in our way, Mary's song may stick in our throats, he says. He says it sticks in his. He says, so often I'm not in a good position to sing along with Mary. By the world's standards, he says, I'm so rich, I'm so comfortable, I'm so healthy. And all these things can fool me into thinking that I don't need God. Certainly not the God that Mary sings about. I'm just not that needy, or so I think. But Mary, she just keeps on singing, raging high in her scales of praise, he says. Soaring in her expected and revolutionary libretto, because God has reached so unexpectedly down to where the least and lowly still struggle for life. So we ask, can Mary's God be my Lord and my God? The God who overturns the way the world works, who takes the least and elects them and brings them into the kingdom, right? Whose judgment in every sense will save the poor, the wronged, and the oppressed. Can we sing this morning of a God who's going to knock the powerful off their peacock thrones, their stock exchange seats, their professional chairs, their benches of judgment? Can we sing about such a God? Can we really praise this God that Mary sings so loudly about? The answer to his question is, that depends, doesn't it? depends on where our hearts are this morning. Whether or not you and I can stand and sing songs of praise and thanksgiving this Christmas season depends on whether or not our hearts have been humbled. Have been humbled by what our God has done for us and is doing to us through the gift of His Son, Jesus. If our hearts are humbled by the grace and the mercy that we see Him pouring out on us, it will be easy for us to stand and sing songs of praise and thanksgiving. But if our hearts are hard, or if they're jaded, or if they're bitter, or proud, or arrogant, or self-centered, if we're only focused on the immediate things that are going on around us that we're dealing with day in and day out, then our ability to sing songs of praise and thanksgiving like Mary did are going to be difficult. Bah humbug may be the extent of our song this Advent season, if that is the case. If our hearts are bitter, bah humbug. Bah humbug about Christmas. Or if they're proud, who needs that Savior? Look at me. Look what I'm doing. Look how I made myself. Therefore, friends, this Advent season, as we wait and as we prepare for our Savior's birth, celebrating that next week, we're asking ourselves, how is our heart this Advent season? How is our heart this Advent morning right now? How is our ability to stand and sing of God who has come down to lift us up, who has come down to pour out mercy and forgiveness and grace? A God who has come down to take us off our thrones so that we can worship Him on His. How is our heart this morning? Is it humble? Smokey Robinson, the king of Motown, once said this. He said, "Songwriting is my gift from God." How about you? Is songwriting your gift from God? Are you able to sing this Advent morning? Are you able to sing about what He has done for you? What He is doing in and through you? Can you sing about the grace and mercy that God is pouring out? This morning you're going to have an opportunity to find out just what that gift is. You take one and pass it around. You know, I'm going to give you one because you've got hands full here. Wake up, Pastor Henry. There you go. All right, there you go, man. Take one of those and pass it out. Are you able to sing like Mary did? We're going to find out. Sheets that are going around. And on those sheets are verses from Luke 1. They're snippets of what Mary sang about so long ago. They're just phrases and there's a lot of blank space. Because we each have an opportunity this morning to fill in those blanks. To look at our hearts, to look beyond our circumstances that we find ourselves in, to reflect on who God is and what He has done and is doing, to look maybe a little bit bigger. We have an opportunity this morning to see things, right? To see some of what Mary saw. She was able to see beyond the immediate to something far greater. And she sang about it. She's saying about it. So using Mary's song as our guide, I invite you to write your own song. Write the lyrics of your own song. Take some time. Just let your heart sing. Look at those phrases and fill in the blanks. Would you pray with me? Father, as we turn our attention toward you and who you are and what you have done for us, speak to us. Lord, I don't know where everyone's at here this morning. But as we sit here this morning, dealing with different things, facing different challenges, different struggles, it's my prayer that you would just reveal yourself to us. Open our eyes and our hearts to see. Open our minds to remember the things that you have done and that you are doing in our midst. Lord, through your Spirit, enable us to sing. Humble our hearts, Lord. Humble our hearts. Speak to us. Enable us to sing, Lord. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The worship team is going to play in the background a little bit. Bible Bistro kids, I invite you just to stay around if you would. Go through this exercise. Take some time. I want to see if your hearts can sing this morning too.